Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. Well, there's really only one thing that Europe can think about right now, and that is the dramatic comeback of Donald Trump as US president. Well, my guest today argues that this new reality requires an existential wake-up by the EU, and that Trump's victory will also have grave consequences for French democracy. Pierre Moscovici is one of France's most distinguished public servants. He's first president of the Court of Auditors, which is the supreme body for auditing the use of public funds in France. He's a former EU commissioner for economic and financial affairs, a former Europe minister and economy minister in French governments, and a former MEP and vice president of the European Parliament. In other words, he's a veteran of European politics as much as he is of French politics. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being with me.
Good to see you.
So on Trump's victory, you've said that Europe needs this existential wake-up. You were actually European Commissioner when Trump was president the first time around. Are you implying that this wake-up call didn't happen when Trump was already president?
Things were a bit different. I think Trump's first presidency shocked everybody, but it was quite erratic. And now it's a bit different since he's re-elected. He has the majority in the Senate. He probably will have the majority in the House. The Supreme Court is now fully Republican and conservative. And the guy comes with a sense of revenge, as a matter of fact, and with a more radical idea. And the world also has changed. You may see today that China is probably more aggressive than it used to be, and that Russia is an authoritarian power, which has launched a military war in Ukraine, which is on the European continent. So, as well, the geopolitical environment has changed, but also the US situation. And in that field, we need absolutely to learn what Joseph Borrell calls the language of power. You know, Europe is a collection of nation states, of ancient culture. If they are together, if we are together, we represent certainly a major power in the world by our economy, by our values, by our policies. We are very specific, but if we are divided, then we are weakened versus those power in the world. And we are back in power policies, politics. We need to have our own voice there.
You've pointed out that Trump is a businessman and he does what he says he's going to do. And so we can assume that he really will put pressure on President Zelensky of Ukraine.
He will be our counterpart. And we need, of course, to have the best possible relationship with this essential partner. And that means also with the president of the US. So it's legitimate to congratulate him. And we need to build the best possible relationship. But then, if we look at the insights, there are major risks also. The best case scenario is that we have, I would say, a polite relationship, a transactional relationship, but Europe is not going to be Mr. Trump's priority. It was never, and it will never be. And it will probably be very, very tough to us. And then what are the risks? It's not the best case scenario. It's the worst case scenario. And we face there, I think, three challenges. The first one is geopolitical. What would Mr. Trump do with NATO? What would be his attitude in Ukraine? He said that he would create peace in 24 hours. That would mean in favor of Vladimir Putin. And then we need to build our own diplomacy, foreign policy, and our own defense, not versus NATO, but be capable also to defend ourselves in case. That's the first challenge.
If Trump does,
but there are others.
If Trump does pull the plug on Ukraine, so to speak, is Europe too divided to have a common response to that situation?
Well, let's say that's the main challenge, and we could also expect this new administration and this president to try to play on our divisions. He obviously has some advocates, like Mr. Viktor Orban, who is the prime minister of Hungary and one of his admirers and also one of his idols. We have Mr. Robert Fico. We have far-right parties here and there. And the way he won this election could also inspire some political forces in Europe. So he could try to play on that. We need to overcome these divisions. We need to be conscious, and this is not a matter of politics being from the right or from the left, that the Europeans have the choice between being weak targets or creating a sense of unity, although we are different, and create our own capacity to defend ourselves. But this is not only a matter of defense. It's also the case with environment, and it's the case with the economy. Yeah. Those three challenges, geopolitical, economic, and environmental, need to be addressed by the Europeans. And that's why I call for this existential wake-up call.
But of course, Trump has said he will impose tariffs on certain European products. Again, my question comes back to unity, because we now have, you know, the German car industry, which is in trouble. Germany politically is now in a very difficult situation. We've seen the collapse of Olaf Scholz's coalition. I mean, if you just take Germany alone, is Europe as it looks today actually capable of taking on these tariffs in a unified way when Trump moves forward with that, do you think?
I've been an EU commissioner, as you mentioned, and as you know, the trade policy is a matter of community. And this is something that needs to be addressed by the commission. The trade commissioner negotiates for the whole EU, but it needs also to be approved by member states. If we are facing an isolationist and protectionist threat, we need to be capable of responding. That's what we are doing. You're talking about cars with China today. We might have to respond to the US. But again, let's not anticipate too much. But let's say we must not be naive. We must prepare ourselves. So we need to build this response. And that's also the case with environment. Obviously, Donald Trump is not persuaded that climate change is a blow for the world and a common challenge. When he was president, he withdrew from the Paris Agreement that followed COP21. He would probably, that's what he also said, dismantle the IRA. On the one side, it's not that bad for us because we considered that as protectionist, but it was also the involvement of the US in the global fight against climate change. And on those three issues, again, I think we should anticipate, we should prepare ourselves, and we must be prepared to have a common, strong response, which is not anti-American. But Mr. Trump is Make America Great Again, is worried about American interests. We also have European interests. Some countries are led by rightist parties, some others by leftist parties. Well, that's not a matter of left and right. It's a matter of common interest. We have a common interest.
You mentioned climate change, and the High Council for the Climate here in France has said that to reach carbon neutrality, France will have to invest between 60 and 70 billion euros extra every year. At the same time, France has got a huge budget deficit that it has to deal with. How is France going to balance those things?
I think those two issues are the two sides of the same coin. The first point, and I addressed that as a chair of the Court of Auditors. The Court of Auditors is the equivalent in the UK of the NAO,
National Audit Office,
plus the OBR,
Office of Budget Responsibility.
Yeah. So we are doing both things, so we are first to address the issue of debt. We have a much too massive public debt, represents some 110% of GDP. It's from 3,200 billion euros. It's the highest by expense in Europe. We need to reduce our debt. We need to reduce our debt in order to recover some room of maneuvers. What for? Precisely for investing. If we want to be capable of defending ourselves, we need to have a higher defense expenditure. If we want to be capable of tackle climate change, we need to invest in the greening of our industry and also the greening of our policies. What can we do if we are too indebted? We have no room of maneuver. And there are other points, for example, the Draghi report, led by the former Prime Minister and former ECB chair, Mario Draghi, proposed that we could have a common borrowing as we did versus COVID. These are issues that we need to address. But first and foremost, we need to do our homework. That means reduce our deficits and control, take back control of the public debt.
Okay, but on the doing the homework, Pierre Moscovici, I mean, a lot of people are wondering, to get to 3% of deficit by 2029, so currently at around 6%, to reduce that by 3% by 2029, can that work without sacrificing public services, hospitals, and so on?
Well, first, the 3% is what we are committed to, being members of the euro, and we are a country that benefits a lot from the euro, probably more than Germany. I mean, the spreads between France and Germany would be much higher without the euro. We are great benefiters, but we need to respect the rules of the game. That's what I was in charge when I was in Brussels. We can do that with flexibility, but we've got some time. We are in 2024. 2029 is in 5 years from now. So it's an effort, but it's an effort that is doable without sacrificing public services, because we have the highest level of public spending in Europe and probably in the world. 57% of our GDP is represented by public spending. It was 53% before the COVID crisis. And we don't have such a development of our public services since then. We need to work on the quality of public spending, on the quality of our public services. We are talking about hospitals. We can, of course, reduce some spendings without degrading or downgrading the quality of the medical system. And that's what we must work on. That's what, as one name, reforms, structural reforms, but in a progressive and positive way.
Okay, we'll end it there. Thank you so much for your thoughts and analysis.
Thank you.
Pierre Moscovici, first president of the Court of Auditors here in France and former European Commissioner. Of course, we talked a lot about climate change in part two of this programme. I'll be with my panel of MEPs in Brussels discussing the very important COP29. Do stay with us.